In the rolling hills of County Down, we rock up to Alison's kitchen table. Alison Abernethy co-created and co-runs the multi-award-winning handmade Abernethy butter with her husband, Will.
Over piping hot coffee and freshly made scones, Alison tells us how this traditional, time-honoured method of making butter was lost and how she and Will brought it back to life in ways.
Yeah, it's my mum's recipe. So it's just soda bread, flour, a little bit of caster sugar, sunflower oil, which is supposed to be the secret that makes them nice and light, our buttermilk, and an egg.
An egg in scone?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you just mix them all together and you try and keep the dough nearly like pastry. You don't want it too soft because if you make it too soft, they'll just go, you know. And 15 minutes, 180 degrees.
Always works.
Always works.
Look at that.
Yeah.
And of course, topped off with the butter. So, life PB, pre-butter.
Pre-butter.
What was it like?
Well, I was a nurse and I had nursed for 32 years, thought I was going to nurse forever, well farmed, and that was it, basically. Two kids, day jobs, away we went, you know, 9 to 5. Thought we worked hard until we started making butter, and then we realised that, no, we didn't work hard. Longer hours, you know, and when it's your own business, you will work to 9 at night from 5 in the morning, whatever it has to be done, you know. But we love it, and if we didn't love it, we wouldn't be doing it. So,
what made you go from I'm going to stop nursing and start into butter making?
Well, we used to do demonstrations on butter making. We made on my home farm. My dad made butter, and we made it for our use. We had a little churn there. It's a little metal one. It was my great granny's, and you know, that's what you did. Everybody made butter on their farms years ago, and that's it. That was what you did. And he started going out doing demonstrations just to show people how butter was made, because everybody thought, you know, just came from Tesco's and that was it. It didn't come any further, you know. And he was to do a show one day at Glenarm Castle. He took sick. He couldn't go. He said to me, would I go rather than letting the people down? Away we went, and we were making the butter, and there was this guy standing watching us. And at the end of the day, he came over and he said, you know, do you sell this? And we went, no, we just do this. And we demonstrations, and that was all we did. And he says, do you realise what you have there? And we went, that's just butter, you know. And he says, no, it's not just butter. The way you make it is unique. And then at the end, you've got this pure, unique, beautiful product. Mm-hmm. And you should be thinking about selling it. And that got the light bulbs going. Mm-hmm. And we came home and we Googled, and there's nobody else does handmade butter like us in the whole of Ireland. There are smaller guys down, you know, in Cork, like Glen Ellen and this Cuneog, but they're done by machines. And we thought, right, let's give this a go. And that was 8 years ago, passed there in June. And we just worked away ourselves for about two years. And then we realised that one of us would have to go at it full time. So Will, he made the butter. So he decided that he would give up farming and he would just concentrate on the butter. But I still nursed and did that for another year. And then it just got to the stage where I realised I can't do both anymore. And to make the business go forward, I had to be here 24/7. So I gave up nursing and we haven't looked back.
From the kitchen, we nip outside to take a look at the pretty compact setup Alison and Will have here. But we get sidelined en route by just how breathtaking the view is.
That's Sleeve Crew over there. And if you go to the top of Sleeve Crew, and you can walk up it quite easy, because the army used to be, see all those masts? The army used to be up there. And you can, there's a concrete path the whole way up. And when you get to the top of it, if it's a clear day, you can see Loch Ness, into Belfast, everything. It is totally amazing.
Oh, wow.
And if you ever get a chance, you should go and do it.
Yeah. Well, for us, it's only, what, an hour up the road, so why not?
Yeah,
it's not
definitely.
Bad at all.
It is just
it just is the most picturesque vista.
Yeah.
honestly here, every shade of green is in these hills.
And a little bit of yellow because of the...
There's a little bit of brown there.
Yeah.
Just with the scorched brown. But it's we've had a few rain showers over the weekend and stuff, and things are starting to green up a bit more now. But the view is amazing. And it's funny because, you know, we get guys from London and chefs and stuff over, and the first thing they get out and they go, oh my God, look at your view. Because they're just living in
cities,
you know?
Absolutely.
So this is where it all started. So this is, it was a granny flat. Will's mummy lived here. She passed away and we thought, well, it's a perfect place to make butter. And we didn't have to do much to it. EHO came out and they were very good and said, look, just do this and, you know, double sink and all that sort of stuff. But it was perfect and we worked in here. So we're in business 8 years. And we worked in here for 4 years until we just didn't have enough space anymore. So then we have a porta cabin specially built out here that we moved out there. So in here now, it's just a matter of we make the fudge in here and we can use that space for wrapping on, and then next door is for wrapping as well. So
see the iconic paper. Just over there.
In the corner, waiting to be cut. And then I'll just show you. So here's the workers.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi. Hi. Yeah. So this is Sophia.
Hi, Sophia.
This is Patrick and Russell.
Hi.
And this is my husband, Will.
Nice to meet you. Hello.
So
here is the
big bowl of butter. Wow.
Big bowl of butter. Yeah. Is the butter in that, or is that... Yeah, just turn to the way over and have a nosy,
boys. Have a wee look.
There you go.
Oh my goodness.
Look at that.
Fresh.
It's golden.
Like. Yeah, golden, and is that the buttermilk all around it then, is it?
That's the buttermilk.
Yeah, it's the buttermilk there now. Yeah.
It's just made. It's just churning.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
so the butter and buttermilk.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what you do when you're churning.
Yeah.
You put the cream in the churn and you wait until it separates.
How long would it take?
About half an hour. So we strain the buttermilk off now, then we'll add some cold water and wash it about 3 or 4 inches until water runs clear. And then we take it out of the churn and we'll put it into large bowls. Mash it around to get rid of all the water that's left there. Then we add some salt to it and and the next process is patting it out into the rolls usually, but we've got a special order here just to do some butter for a bakery, so they're taking it in tubs.
How many packets of butter is in that bowl now?
I couldn't tell you.
A hell of a lot of butter.
It was about 40 rolls of our butter.
Wow.
We'll make about... 900 to 1,000 rolls of butter every day.
1,000 rolls of butter a day, wow.
That's a good service you're doing to the public. Thank you for doing so.
We can show you maybe doing a roll. So if I have it, you can do a 130 there or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a work of art.
It looks easy, but it's a lot harder than it looks.
Lots of practice.
Yes.
How many times did you have to try it out?
Oh dear.
You look quick.
I did pick it up well.
Yeah.
I did.
Good with butter. That's so beautiful, isn't it? It's just so quick though. It's like
it's art.
Yeah, it is art. It's so beautiful.
Handmade in gorgeously elegant, incredibly simple but sensational looking rolls. All that's added to their butter is a pinch of salt. No more, no less, so there's nowhere to hide. Obviously cream is the starting point for real butter, so we wanted to know more about the dairy herd where Abernethy sources its milk.
We use our cream from Drains Farm, which is about 8 miles away in Lisburn. So they're quite unique here in Northern Ireland, where it's one herd of cows, and they milk their own cows, and then they take the milk and do their semi-skimmed milk, and then we buy their cream off them. Mm-hmm. And they treat their cows really well because the cows are milked by robots. So the cow has like a necklace on, yeah, and we bit here, and it goes up to this computer, and it scans the thing, and so the gate opens, the cow goes in, and then the robot will put the milkers onto the cow and milk it, and she gets some nuts while she's standing there. So the cow decides if it wants milked once a day or 10 times a day, because it'll go up and it'll be scanned, and in she goes. But some of the cows, they're like dogs, they're really clever. They'll go out and then they'll come back round because they get nuts, and they'll try and get in again, but the computer realizes, no, you've just been in, so bye. So, you know, they're very clever. But it means the cow is in stress. So you sometimes see in programs, and the farmer's herding the cows in, and they're all standing, getting squashed, and yeah, you know, so it's all very relaxed, yeah, and they've got lovely spongy mats for them to sit on or sleep on, and the cow can go outside when it wants, and if it's raining, it just can come toddling back in again. So it's really, really nice. And we found when we did our research that their cream was the most creamy cream, and it made the loveliest, driest butter. Mm-hmm. And we think it's because of that sort of factor. And we actually then recently found out that a lot of restaurants, because they supply the milk to the restaurants in Belfast, and they particularly buy Drains milk for their cappuccinos and stuff, because it seems the milk seems to make the nicest, frothiest cappuccinos. We like that. We like the way that, you know, the cows are looked after. So that all adds to the story, and of course the grass fed and all as well. So yeah, that's why we use Drains.
The chain has to go the whole way back, and it goes right back to a happy cow.
It's all fully traceable, and you know, we can say that to the public, and that's what people want to know, that the animals are well cared for, you know.
Well, they sound like they work at Facebook or Google or something, because they have all the mats and the extra nuts and everything like that. It sounds fantastic. Yeah. Where do I sign up?
Great perks.
It's been a whirlwind of a couple of years. I'm looking at awards in the corner of the room. You know, so well received, and that obviously helps.
Well, it definitely does. Like since we started entering awards, we started with the Great Taste Awards, and we've had at least one star, if not two or three, from Great Taste Awards every year since we started. So we would be quite annoyed if we never got a Great Taste Award, but it's very privileged to get them, because you know there's 20,000 entries and only maybe 1,500 products get an award. So to get a Great Taste Award is pretty amazing. And then last year we got a Golden Fork, which was absolutely fabulous. And that was the Woman in Home VIP producer award, and we were just overwhelmed. It was amazing to get a Golden Fork, you know. And we've got a Blanahan Silver Award as well for the smoked butter, and lots of other awards too. But it does help. It helps promote you, makes you feel really good about your product, because you think, well, if it's going on an award, it's must be something a bit special.
How had you chosen to add in extra flavors? Is it a thing that came through everyone trying it and asking, or is it a thing that you thought, okay, add in extra into the range?
It was to add in extra really to the range. Again, it was to do with the Great Taste Awards, because you know, you only can enter your plain butter so often, and then you need to have something different and something else to enter. So it was actually well thought, well, you can smoke cheese, why not smoke butter? And so he gave it a go, and it worked very well, and it actually we ended up then with 3 gold stars for that, and it was listed as one of the top 50 foods. And it goes really well. It's a lovely addition to, you know, if you're cooking onions or mushrooms or your scrambled egg or mashed potato, it gives everything a smoky barbecue flavor rather than just using the plain butter.
There's also a recipe on your website which we read and nearly died because it sounded so good. It's the toffee, the smoky toffee.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Oh,
How did you come across that one? Because that just sounds so good. It sounds like a real alchemy of very, like, there's paprika in it, yeah. Isn't there? And sea salt and of course, the toffee ingredients. Was that just a family recipe or?
It's not my recipe. No, I can't claim anything. There's, we had a lovely couple here, maybe about 4 years ago. They were called Hope and Greenwood. And they made sweets. Yes. And they did this program, Sweets Made Simple. So they were here with us and we had a fabulous time with them. And then we were on the program and the toffee smoked toffee is their recipe. So they allow me to use that.
They're so talented.
They are. And that book, although we had many mishaps with that book.
There's a lot of heating up of sugar and crystallising and cooling and stuff that in our small flat in London, it just never worked.
Yeah, and they made it look so easy. Yeah.
So easy.
Yeah, but then, you know, that's what they do. Yeah. But yeah, so that is their recipe. So you have to try it. Then the next year we thought seaweed was the food of the year. You know the way you get that. And we thought, well, what is more Northern Irish than dulse? And we thought, right, we'll try the dulse. And that gives a lovely natural saltiness to the butter. And some people want a more salty butter. And so the dulse works really well for that. And we find a lot of the chefs over in London love the dulse. And they love the little flecks through it. And when they cut it, you know, they see that. And a lot of the restaurants would serve a slice of the plain butter and then a slice of the dulse beside it because it just looks so pretty and looks so well together. Did you know as well the dulse butter was used in Harry and Meghan's wedding?
No.
Yeah. Claire Smith, who's from Northern Ireland, she did the evening reception and she used the dulse butter. Fantastic. Yeah. So it was the only product from Ireland that was used. So we were pretty... amazed by all that.
How did they inform you about that?
They just had said that they needed some dulse butter for a special occasion, but we never really twigged on, you know, what they meant. Yeah. But that was fine. They got the butter and fine. And then the next thing in the Times, it was announced, you know, the whole menu was announced, and there it was. The starter was a fish dish with Abernethy dulse butter, and we were like, okay, now we know what the dulse butter was for. So yeah, it was very special. So
I think for a lot of people, and actually for ourselves as well, we met through social media, which is it's a wonderful world most of the time. Social media is a great way of getting words about as well, especially in non-foodie circles in particular. And you've been, I see Nigella tweet about you pretty much every day at this rate. So what do you pay her?
In butter.
We're BFFs, you know. Yeah. I wish. Yeah. I haven't actually met Nigella, I wish I had. But she has got our butter. She buys it in Fortnum and Mason, and she is a fan. And she just does this every so often. She just puts something on and it's pretty amazing. Like, you could not pay for publicity like that, you know.
And it's a real endorsement, as in it's, I buy this and I think it's great.
Yeah, and exactly. And that's what she's about, you know. She uses there's like a fruit and veg shop just down the road that she uses from her flat, and you know, she does what she seems to do what she says she does. Yeah. You know, so.
And then of course the chefs, especially London, especially a lot of the big chefs there are very, yeah, very, but yeah, here in Northern Ireland, there's such a great community around food in particular, and more than ever, chefs are, let's think local and use local produce. Yeah. And at the forefront, and a lot of the times when we're eating up in Northern Ireland, we see your butter.
Yeah. 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 You know, the guys here as well have been very good. You know, you've got James Street South and Michael Dean and Dean's Restaurants, and they've all been big supporters, and you know, Niall and Michael have both been you know, really good help to us. Derek Cray, who is up in Donegal now, he was one of the first guys who used the butter and got us into social media, and so it's all his fault that I'm a Twitter addict. And yeah, so the guys have been great, and they do, you know, the year food and drink was 2016, and that really brought a lot of the chefs to really start using local produce and you know, within a certain area and whatever. So yeah, it's been good.
Yeah, Northern Ireland really is. It's a pantry and a half of incredible producers.
The products here in Northern Ireland are fabulous, and it's only really this sort of this last 6 or 7 years that the mainland have realised what fabulous meat and butter and vegetables and eggs and oils and whatever we have here. And look at the countryside, you know, why would we not have such beautiful stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. So really the food scene in Northern Ireland has really taken off in this last sort of 6-7 years.
Yeah. And I think this area has held the great taste champion, what, for 4 years or something?
Yeah, 3 years. McCartney's and Maura got it. Mm. The first time, and then Peter Hammond got it the next year, and then he got it the year before. So he needs to go for the three now. Yeah.
Any day now.
Yeah, the results are out now in September, so yeah. I'll not be surprised if he goes absolutely. Again, because his meat is and pork and lamb is just, you know, totally amazing stuff.
Legendary.
Mm. He's a legendary guy. And he is such a big supporter of all the artisan produce, you know. And he'll not just take the glory for himself. He'll share it with everybody and, you know, he'll promote everybody. And it's really him that has helped bring the food scene from England over here. So, you know, he's a really good guy.
Great ambassador as well for the food scene up here.
For Northern Ireland. Mm. He really has been, you know, and even for the south of Ireland as well, you know, so he's doing good things, you know.
And how has Twitter helped Abernethy?
Twitter has been amazing. You know, you're getting to people that you wouldn't normally get to. Chefs and restaurants do Twitter because they don't have time for emails and phone calls. And, you know, you put up a picture of something or an award or something, and the next thing your phone's going mad. You know, on Nigella the other day, tweeting about our new garlic butter. And the next thing, you know, I had so many DMs and emails and stuff. So fabulous. You know, like I was out last night doing a talk and somebody said to me, you know, what if you had to give one bit of advice to somebody who was starting up a business, what would it be? And I said go on social media. Mm-hmm. You know, because I do Instagram, Facebook and Twitter, and Instagram's great because you can do the whole three through Instagram. And but you know, I would, if a shop or a restaurant's using my product, I will tweet about them and retweet their stuff, and that hopefully somebody will go into that shop and buy something else, but buy my butter as well. And you know, it's the same with the Facebook. Facebook is more for the general public, and Instagram and Twitter would be more the shops and chefs and the foodies and you know, that sort of thing. But you're getting through to everybody, and it is like, you know, I couldn't, if I put an advert in the local paper, it's only just going to, you know, be the few hundred people or 1,000 people. But you know, like, definitely if you're doing a business, social media is the way to go.
Yes, in this social media age, everyone is so well connected and able to support one another digitally. So if you're enjoying this podcast, and Chew the Fat in general, please pledge your support on Patreon, where from as little as some loose change every month, you can help us with the production costs of this 100% free 30-ish minute podcast every week. You'll also get little perks like episodes a couple of days early and personalised content from us to you. That's patreon.com/gastrogaze.
But if you don't want the small monthly commitment, you can also pledge a one-time donation via PayPal. You can find that on paypal.me/gastrogaze.
Back to Dromora though, and having crossed the border earlier on that day en route to Abernethy, we have to bring up the elephant in the room.
Obviously, we don't like bringing up the B word because everyone is talking about it constantly. It's like the longest game of Deal or No Deal in history. But being in agriculture and being in the food industry, and at this moment in time, we don't really know what the hell is going to happen in about 9 months. Is there a bit of a trepidation, a bit of fear going on, or wait and see?
Yeah, I suppose slightly. It's hard to know. It's just really hard to know what's going to happen. You know, there was things in the paper last week that butter prices are going to go mad because we'll not be able to get butter in from Europe because of the you know, Dover, there's going to be that much like tailback and the prices are going to go mad. Who knows? We're just going to have to wait and see and just take it as it comes. Mm. Not much we can really do about it.
And it's a real shame that I think if you were able to prepare and know what you were going to do and expect certain things, you could prepare, but
I don't think you can, you know. I don't even think the government knows what's happening, to be honest with you, from what I can see. So we'll just see what happens.
Well, it's at least, again, that idea of community. The Northern Irish food community, I think anyone who we've spoken to over the past year or so have said exactly the same thing. It's, well, we'll just all deal with it together, which is a nice way to be.
Yeah. And do you know, it might, because it's going to be harder to bring stuff in from Europe and wherever, it might make us more self-sufficient and make us think, well, you know, kale's in season, cauliflower's are in season, we'll use those rather than bringing in some exotic stuff from abroad. So, you know, I do think that here in the UK and Ireland that we could feed ourselves and sustain ourselves, you know, because we do have the stuff. So it'll just be interesting to see. But I do think food prices are going to definitely rise, you know. So,
and in terms of your customer split, is it more trade or is it consumer driven?
Oh gosh, maybe more trade. Maybe more trade. You know, 80% of what we make actually goes to England, but I would say the majority of stuff is restaurants. You know, you're getting restaurants over there who like take maybe, like there was one restaurant last week, he takes 40 kilos a week. Another guy, he takes 30. Another guy, he takes 25 kilos, you know. So those guys are taking, and that's every week. And that's stamp and order, you know, that they have every week. There's big business, you know, especially London. London's just hiving, you know, and there's so many fabulous restaurants and hotels over there, so. It's fabulous restaurants here too, but
who are the other NI producers who you love?
There's so many of them. I couldn't name them because I'd maybe offend somebody, but you know, well, you've got Peter, you know, you've got Leona Embroidered Gold, you've Susie Byrne Balsamics, who else have got? We've got all the jam makers, chutney makers. There's just so many, you know, we're all a community, you know, and when we all go to shows and you're like, oh, I haven't seen you for ages, and you know, there's just lots of what's happening, and so there's so many people that, you know, you just couldn't, I don't want to individualize, you know, really, because we're all friends, you know, and we all work together, and if we see something that would suit somebody else, or if a shop's looking for something, you know, I'll say, oh, well, have you tried so and so, and they'll say, well, have you tried Alison, or you know, so we all do work together, you know. London is it,
huge numbers and quantities going out. Quite a small operation, as we've just seen, as well. How many staff in total?
Three staff and then our two selves as well, so that's a lot of happen.
And I suppose as well, you have to be a expert in everything as well, in a lot of the other ends.
I think I happen to be the expert in everything. Wells isn't fussed in computers and stuff, so I have to be manager and accountant and, you know, customer services and all that sort of stuff. But sure, that's all part of the game, as you guys know.
And it's part of the game because it's the, you know, 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. type of job as well. One thing that we always, and it's come up but so often with a lot of Northern Irish producers that we've spoken to over time, is that they feel like they really get the best of both worlds in a way, because they have access to the full Irish market, but also access to the mainland UK market as well. And you know, especially when you're saying that you're exporting to London, the ROI market. And I think we're seeing your product getting more and more across the Republic of Ireland. Is there sometimes, because down south we're very, very proud of, like, you know, oh, this is Irish, and down south this is from our local area and everything. Do you feel that there might be a teeny bit of a reluctance, I suppose, from a lot of places down south?
Yeah, there would be a teeny little bit. But it's funny because you would find the same in Scotland as well. They would be very much, you know, Scottish produce as well. Now, don't get me wrong, we have lots of places we supply in Scotland and lots of places down the south of Ireland, but you do get that that little bit. But that's fair enough, you know, you understand it. Why not, you know? It would be the same if we went somewhere and there was French butter sitting. I would have a breakdown, I think, you know. But island of Ireland just does produce such fabulous produce, so why not?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and if it's keeping it local to someone else, why not keep it that way? It makes more sense.
Has to get a share of the ball, so yeah, why not? You know.
8 years in, what's the plan for the next 5 years?
Retire and go to Barbados. I wish. Just keep going, you know. We're bringing out this new flavour now in August, the black garlic. So I don't know how we're going to fit it in because we just don't have enough hours in the day. But we're very excited about that. So, you know, it's just a matter of keeping going and seeing what happens. Business seems to come to us at the moment. We're very lucky. And we're very lucky that we get such sort of high-end business. Like we got Claridge's came to us a few months ago, and now we're supplying, you know, them. So we're just going to keep going and just, you know, enjoy it. If it becomes a chore, well, then maybe it's time to think about retiring. But at the moment, we're still happy and still enjoying ourselves. And like we've been so honoured and so blessed, and, you know, we've got to go to some of those beautiful restaurants to eat and stay in some hotels, and, you know, we've met royalty and we've met famous people and we've met you guys and, you know, and we never would have done that if we'd been nursing, and, you know, we've had royalty come here and visit us, and, you know, so it's just been an amazing, amazing journey. You know, we are just so blessed and so lucky, you know.
And then on the flip side, if you had to start all over again tomorrow, what would you do differently?
I actually don't think I would do anything differently. Do you know that? I really don't think so. I think it's worked out well, that it's been a steady journey, that we just didn't bomb into it. And no, I don't think it would change anything. I think, you know, we've been very happy and okay, yes, we do have an old row and stuff, but who wouldn't, you know?
Hello.
But you know,
okay.
But you know, like, Will and I are with each other 24/7. We work together, we eat together, we sleep together, whatever. But you know, it's still been an honor and a privilege for the two of us to be able to work together and enjoy this time together. So no, I don't think we would change anything.
How inspiring is that? There's something so traditional and welcomingly familiar about the Abernethys, both their hospitality and their product. They are inviting, honest, and true to who they are, humble but assured in exactly what they're doing.
We always knew butter could be a star in its own right, and now they've collected star after star for theirs. The butter to beat them all? Try it for yourself and see. Especially if, like us, you're lucky enough to spread it liberally on one of Alison's fresh out of the oven scones.